Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to a demo for StockMusic.net.
Oh, yo, come on, feel the vibe, funk, oh, yo.
Good morning. Welcome to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your host, Teresa Murphy. Happy Monday, guys. A new year. And jumping off in your world, I know that it's just so surreal to me that it is 2017. So I'm actually on several documents this morning, and I am still putting 2016. So, yes, I'm still struggling a little bit about what the year is. And I'll probably do that the remainder of the week. However, guys, I hope you have some new goals set for the week. And not just New Year's resolutions. You know, I always tell people that New Year's resolutions, to me, put a lot of pressure on folks. So the best thing I think that I would recommend is just trying to be a better you today than you were yesterday. And what does that mean exactly? Write down goals and develop habits. Don't develop New Year's resolutions. I went to the gym this morning, guys, and I mean, it was overflowing with individuals. I mean, I was just there last week, and there definitely was not that many members as there were this morning. So what that does mean is folks definitely have set some New Year's resolutions. Now, what we want to see is if the gym will still be as busy February 1st, as busy on March 1st. So that's why I say that it's best to develop habits and a lifestyle and not New Year's resolutions. And guys, if you want to lose weight, I think it's awesome. Set a goal, how many pounds you want to lose, and how at what time frame you want to have those pounds off. So don't just have a generic goal and say, hey, I want to lose weight this year. How many pounds do you want to lose? And put some pressure on yourself as far as accountability. Hold yourself accountable to a specific date. If you're trying to start a new business this year, if you're trying to leave your 9-to-5, if you're trying to get a promotion in your 9-to-5 in corporate America, do a lot of research right now and set some goals on a time frame when you want it to happen. And remember, you create the life that you want. Again, you create the life that you want. Joining us this morning will be the owner of Gemini TM, and I must make sure that I say TM, and that's an inside joke that we will be discussing here shortly, is Ms. Leslie Wade. And Leslie is going to talk all things business about her new company. And I don't believe, and Leslie can go more in details about her business, but I want to say it's maybe a year or two old, but hey, don't quote me on that. Leslie will confirm that. Mrs. Wade is on the call with us now, and she will talk a little bit about her business, how you can actually give you her excuses. And guys, let me tell you, I have went to visit Leslie's, her website, and she definitely has some really unique pieces. And she also had for the curvy woman, the sexy woman, whatever you feel it, Gemini TM definitely has what you're looking for. She'll also share with you her website address and how you can actually obtain a few of those pieces. So joining us on the call this morning is Miss Leslie Wade. Good morning, Leslie. How are you this morning?
I'm great. And how are you? You sound fabulous and refreshed.
I am. Happy New Year. And thank you so much for joining Motivate My Life Radio this morning. We are so excited to see everything that you have going on. And guess what, Leslie? You are the first guest for the new year. So exciting.
All right. Well, I guess I have to set the bar. So I'm excited about that. Thank you for having me.
No problem. So, Leslie, I want to kind of jump right in, as we normally do, and talk a little bit about your business, because we have a lot of individuals that don't have the courage to pursue their goals, to pursue their dreams, and because of a lot of, I think, my personal opinion, a lot of it is fear. So first, before we get into Gemini TM, your business and how it got started and your why behind the business, let's talk a little bit about Leslie. So if you can tell us a little bit about who is Leslie, just how would you sum yourself up?
Oh, gracious. I haven't really thought about myself in those kind of terms. Because I really think that, we all embody a yin and a yang. You know, so there's some parts of me that are very conservative. There's some parts of me that are very liberal. And I also apply that to an outlook on life. I think that's a great way to kind of segue into how the business started, the yin and the yang of me. So I was having a conversation with a dear friend of mine, and she's doing very well in her career and seemingly, you know, all of the goals that she had charted for her life. She's very much on that path to meeting or exceeding those goals. And, you know, she and I basically came from the same background. We went to the same high school and the same undergrad and grad school. So I said, well, what makes her any different from me, you know? And the big thing that made her different was she was very motivated and she stayed the course, whereas I allowed other people who I value their opinions very greatly to kind of mold and shape my life, and those people being my parents. They are very traditional and very career-oriented, and all of the dreams and things that I wanted to do didn't really resonate with them because they were very non-traditional. So being impressionable for a number of years, more years than I care to admit, I kind of just followed the path that they suggested. They wanted me to get a quote-unquote normal job. And so, you know, I've worked for companies such as Lockheed Martin, The Washington Post, Gannett. These are normal jobs. When, in fact, my passion has always been with fashion and advertising, communications, and marketing. And, in fact, that's what I'd gone to – that's what I'd studied in undergrad and grad school. So that was very near and dear to me. But I didn't want to disappoint my parents, so I went on this Plan B life. And then one day I woke up, I had a conversation with my dear friend. And, you know, I don't care how many different jobs I got. I don't care how many different pay increases, you know, I obtained. I still felt empty. So I was approaching, I think it was my 41st birthday. And I woke up, it was in July. I woke up, I said, you know what? If you don't do it now, when in the hell are you going to actually do it? Because no one's going to rescue you. You know, you got all the tools.
Totally.
You have all the tools. You know, I have all of this education that I have been applying to other companies. You know, I incurred the debt to go to school to make other companies wealthy. So I said, that's retarded. But I've been doing that for a number of years, and I haven't been living, you know, my dream and my purpose. So immediately that day, after listening to my dear friend, and that was weeks prior, and then thinking about where I was in life, I said, I kickstarted it. It was that day in July. I just pulled it together. I've always had an affinity for undergarments. And I said, well, you know what? I really don't think that, you know, there's this to the type of woman that I am. And I'm certain that there are other women out here in this marketplace that kind of think the way that I think or have the taste level or the aesthetic that I have. So let me speak to them. And right after that, I kind of got things rolling.
And, you know, Leslie, just to follow up on something that you mentioned, because, you know, a lot of people fall in the category of fear. You know, a lot of folks don't step outside of their comfort zone, you know, because of fear. And yours was more of, you know, I have to be a certain person and have a certain career to please my parents. And so in doing that, you set your dreams back of what you wanted to do because you were trying to please, you know, other people. And of course, guys, you know, it's really important a lot to a lot of people as far as pleasing your parents and things of that nature. But you have to also, when you get up every morning, it's really important to know what is your why. And there's so many people out here, Leslie, that they get up every morning and they go to these jobs and they go for a paycheck. That's it. They go to get paid every 2 weeks or every week, and they're so unhappy, but they do absolutely nothing about it. They keep going to the same job every day and doing the same thing when they have dreams and goals such as yourself. So, you know, you turned your dreams and goals into something more tangible. How many years or how far back can you say when that light bulb kind of pretty much went off and you said, hey, it's time for me to do Leslie, and it's time for me to pursue my goals. I mean, I'm sure you brainstormed the business. You know, why lingerie? Why swimwear?
Oh, wow. So let's see. As far as the years, I've always dilly-dabbied in entrepreneurial pursuits. So, I'm a left and a right brain thinker, which is a good thing. Because there's a little bit of balance. So, so before these, what you see is what you get, website software platforms became available, I used to develop websites. And that was a very profitable and lucrative business. And then while I was doing that, I wanted to start a magazine. And then I kind of put that to the side because, of course, as you know, the publishing business is tanked. So I said, well, let me leave that alone. And then, let's see, what else happened after that? Oh, that basically was it. And then I did some other little dilly-dally stuff. But I've always been into fashion to a degree. And not like you see most women out here where they want to be stylists and stuff like that. You know, I was more so into the construction part of it and the business acumen. So I've always loved undergarments and lingerie and swimwear and things of that sort. But I was more so focused on the business acumen of it. So, you know, we could go from bras to shoes, but I would be happy with doing the behind the scenes things, and which speaks to my left and my right brain, because, you know, you have to study economics and accounting and things of that sort to get the business running. And then on the right side of your brain, you know, you have your advertising and marketing and things of that sort. So those are the things that always resonated with me. And since they're consumable goods, you know, I get to see the immediate return or benefit of it. To wait a while before you can see the yin and the yang of what's happening. But on consumable goods, it's almost instantaneous. And now with the advent of digital media taking off as well as it is and as much as it is, it's almost in real time that you can see the impact that your marketing promotions is directly having on your business. So,
really important.
But, But again, when I was surveying the landscape, and I said, okay, I know I want to do fashion. Okay, so that's what I know I want to do. And what is a no-brainer to me, and where do I see, where is there a void in the universe? And I zero right in on lingerie, because either you're going to be an angel, you know, is being promoted by one company, or you're going to be this harlot is being promoted by another company.
Totally.
And I'm not either. So I said, okay, so what about the woman that's in between all of that? And that is what Gemini speaks to.
And, you know, I've told the listeners that I went to your website and actually saw a lot of your pieces, and they are simply amazing pieces
Thank
that you.
You
have. And you have a lot of unique pieces, so, and that's what I'm really big on. I want you to tell, and we have a lot of questions, Leslie. They pour in all the time on the show, and I'm going to answer, take a few of the questions from your listeners and ask you those questions shortly. But what I want you to be able to tell the listeners right now is, what were some of the challenges that you faced when you decided to launch your new business?
Oh, gosh. I'm still going through them now. So as a micro business, which is smaller than the small business, as a micro business, and you're delving into the manufacturing world. So what makes me slightly different from what you're seeing out here, especially in the digital platforms, your social media platforms such as Instagram and Snapchat or whatever, a great percentage of my pieces I have manufactured, they're custom manufactured for me.
Wow.
As opposed to being a reseller. You see a lot of resellers out there. But mine, you know, I've contracted with the company. We've gone through samples. They're constructing it. It's a little bit more involved, and it's a greater risk. And to keep prices where I think they will be consumed, I had to go outside of the United States, of course, to China and to India. This is when I learned about trademark infringement, how you cannot protect a design. I've always known that, excuse me, you can't protect a design. But you also, with these foreign governments, depending upon the treaties that they have with the United States, You can't even forbid them or prevent them from reproducing your samples for their own line or for a competing line. And that has happened to me several times over. As a matter of fact, before your show started, I just did a hashtag search on Gemini Lingerie, and lo and behold, there is another company based out of China that has a similar logo to mine.
Wow.
And they call themselves Gemini Lingerie, where I call myself Gemini, being all inclusive of swimwear, lingerie, and playwear.
Right.
So that is a big challenge, trying to protect your creative license overseas. And then you have to worry about the quality. I can ill afford to travel back and forth to China and India. You know, I can ill afford to do that. So when they send a sample, they're going to send their best work, of course, because they want your work. They want the contract. But then when they send a shipment to you, I found it's different. So then when you have your fashion timeline of when you want to promote things, and shipping being what it is, you know, taking anywhere from 15 to 45 days to get to you, you know, and that's minus production, and you have to go back and forth, you know, that can be nauseating, and I've had to go through that as well. I had some issues with customs. Quite a few times I had to travel to go pick up my things and prove who I was and show my business license and all of that other stuff. So now, for the most part, I contract within the U.S. Because I can control things a little better. I don't have to fight with customs. The quality is better. The price point is going to be higher because we, to a certain extent, pay a living wage in the U.S. to a certain extent, and I got air quotes on that. As far as my designs and stuff like that, they're pretty much protected. I mean, we're still a little loosey-goosey in the United States about exactly
what you can protect.
Yeah. So a great example will be the polo shirt. A lot of people liken the polo style shirt to Ralph Lauren, but any mm-hmm. company could have a polo shirt. They just can't use his logo. So, you know, it's the same thing that applies, but I feel much better contracting within the United States, especially with the companies now that I'm able to work with. They seem to understand what my needs are and are working accordingly. So, but those are some examples of the challenges that I've run into, in addition to having enough money to market. You know, market as profusely as I would want to. Every company runs into that, you know. So
yes, definitely
use my money very wisely and be very strategic on when I would execute a campaign and how and what that looks like. So,
and it's so funny too because Leslie, you know, you touched on a few things. Firstly, I want to say that you know, I commend you that I think it's really important for you to do homework. It's really important for you to brainstorm and do research, start to learn a lot more about what some of the expectations are, maybe some of the downfalls, some of the things you may try to avoid, you know, hence, you know, your situation with the manufacturing in China and India. And it's unfortunate because the world we live in, you know, they reproduce a lot of things in the world now that are basically illegal. And so, so then, you know, we call them knockoffs in our world is what we call them. And people will go and, you know, remake someone else's design and so forth. So it is so difficult to try to protect your designs. I've seen a companies online, you know, and I can't think of the name of some of them, but they're like some really side cheap companies, Leslie. And you know, they will remake something, and then, you know, folks will go order all these things, and you'll see all these bad reviews about the quality of the content and so forth. And so you may redesign someone's content or their items or something of that nature, but you may not get the same quality. And so
exactly.
I tell folks, you know, watch price, you know, because for some reason, you know, we are so huge on what something costs. And
mm-hmm.
I do believe that you get what you pay for. So
yes.
You just have to be very careful with what you're investing your money in and be careful that because something is cheap, something being on sale, quality, and then something just being cheap by price is not the same. And something else that you touched on that I think is really important before I take some of the questions is that when you figure out, you know, your downfall or you figure out what some of these challenges are, you know, you too have to make some changes. It's really key. It's important that you make changes for the best of your company. And so the marketing piece that I wanted to touch on, you never, ever can stop marketing. And, you know, I tell folks this all the time, you know, and so it's great that strategically you choose when, you know, you should, you know, do a campaign and so forth because you want to spend your money wisely because marketing is really expensive. And a lot of folks' businesses go out of business because of marketing or they don't have the money to market or they don't market properly.
Exactly.
Because your target audience isn't everybody. So,
right.
You know, you know, when people say, you know, my target audience is everyone, I'm like, who are you designing this for? Who is this product for? Who's your ideal audience when you're thinking of your service? And so those things are key as well when you're about to launch a new business, a new adventure. And so and one of the questions that I'm looking at right now, she's actually sent it in three times, so we're going to go ahead and answer the listener's question. Her question is, this is Megan, and she's in Chicago, and she wants to know, Leslie, do you cater to plus-size women?
Actually, I cater to, I would not say that I cater to any specific segment of women. I do have looks for our curvier women. I do have looks for the smaller women. So it's more of a mindset. It's more of a design aesthetic. You know, if you have the same eye that I have or the same fashion sense when it comes to undergarments that I have, then I have a look that's for you. So I'm expanding my curvier offerings. And again, this goes back to the conversation I just had about quality and working with vendors overseas as opposed to working with vendors within the U.S. I don't know what scale the overseas vendors are using for our plus sizes, but their idea of a 2X and a 3X is the equivalent to a U.S. large. So so there was some issues there. But I am definitely expanding that aspect of my business for the curvier women. And trust me, for the my friends who are a little bit more voluptuous, oh, I hear it constantly from them, if not daily. And the thing is, I get things in and they sell out very quickly. So it's not like I don't have them. I've had them and have them. They sell out very quickly, but I'm definitely putting, I guess, more matter, if you will, into that since it is in higher demand. But again, I don't want you to think that I am a Lane Bryant or Ashley Stewart. It's nothing like that. It's more about the design aesthetic. If you subscribe to that, then I have a look for you.
Awesome. And so, and caller, I hope that that answers your question. I want to go into another question while we still have time. So the next question is, Leslie, what was the first step? I'm interested in starting a shoe line. What was your first step, and what was your first phone call, your first step in launching your business or doing your research?
Oh, wow. I looked at the competition, and I really studied the competition, you know, who I thought my competition was. And quiet as it's kept, I don't believe that my competition is Victoria's Secret or Frederick Douglass. You know, I don't look to them.
I don't know. You got some really great pieces there. I don't know.
but there are other niche designers out there in the lingerie world that I say that I zeroed in on them. They have a cult following. You know, they're not as big and global as your Victoria's Secrets or your Frederick Douglass. I mean, not Frederick Douglass. Jesus Christ, your Fredericks of Hollywood. Line. They're not as global as that, but they're smaller, they're profitable, they have a cult following, they have some very, very avant-garde looks, and so I studied them because I knew that my design aesthetic fell along those lines. It didn't necessarily mirror them, but it fell along those. You know, you are definitely going to be a unique person to kind of gravitate to what it is that I'm doing. What I offer does not necessarily service the masses. You know, it services a special type of woman. So I really studied those companies. And actually, the lingerie community is so small, even though it's so expansive as far as revenue, but it's so small that I was able to have conversations with at least three women that are running very successful companies who you know, they feel secure where they are, and they didn't mind, you know, giving me some insight into the ups and downs that they had, you know, incurred while starting the business and things of that sort. Now, in our conversations, I pretty much kind of outlined where I thought there would be some areas of concern. They confirmed it for me. And from that, that's when I kind of drafted a plan of attack. The good thing here is that because I do so when I contacted manufacturers. I had already developed, I had already designed and developed the lingerie, swimwear, or playwear that I wanted. I just needed them to manufacture it. So I eliminated like two or three steps just having that skill set here in myself, and was able to ship that off and have them reproduce it. So what I will encourage people to do, and it depends on who you run into, but reach out to those people who are doing what you want to do. There are some people that are going to turn you down flat. They don't want to have a conversation.
Totally.
Right. And then there are going to be some people who are, you know, it's just their nature to just help and be a resource, and they will provide you with all the information that they have available. In addition to that, do your own research outside of that. We live in the information age, so there's really no excuse for people to say, I did not know, I don't know how to, or anything like that. The information is out there. You may have to do a little bit more digging than you want to do, but it's definitely out there. And so those were the beginning steps for me. And also, I hate to say it, but you can't be scared of money. I don't have all the money in the world. I don't even have all the money that I would love to have, you know, but you can't be scared of when people start talking about thousands or tens of thousands of dollars to do something. You can't be scared of having those conversations. Definitely take it in and then kind of draft your plan of attack. Maybe, you know, for the woman that was interested in starting a shoe line, maybe you can't come out with 20 different shoes. You know, maybe you can't do that. Maybe if you scale it back to 3 or 5 solid looks that frame what your company is about, what your design aesthetic is about, and who you're marketing to, and you get a cult following behind that, then the profits you receive from that, which will be slow, but they'll come in. The profits that you receive from that, you can then parlay that into expanding your collection. So, you know, that's just what happened to me and what I can suggest.
And you definitely, I just want to add to that, you definitely want to be patient. So if you're going into business, if you're going into business and you think that you are going to be a millionaire overnight from your new product or service, then you may, entrepreneurship or being a business owner may not be for you, because it takes a lot of hard work, sweat, dedication, tears. I mean, you know, from my own personal experience, you just don't wake up and you're successful unless, I mean, you hit the Mega Millions or the Lotto or something of that nature. And if you're using your own money, Leslie, to invest, you know, some of us don't have the money to invest in the business like we would want to, so you have to take baby steps. And when you have to take baby steps, you have to have patience, because if you don't have, you know, and let's just be realistic here, a lot of, I mean, probably 60%, you know, maybe 70% of, you know, Americans don't have $40,000 sitting around and go invest in a business, or $100,000 to go invest in their business. You know, what it really takes, capital and startup. They don't have it. So if you don't have it and you have to take baby steps, then you have to be patient, because, from statistics and experience, you know, it takes about a good 5 years sometimes before you even see a real profit. And you may get here and there, but I'm talking about you to generate a real paycheck. You need to have patience. And then if you're still working a 9-to-5, Leslie, you know, there's other factors, because you're not giving all your time every day to your business. You're giving your time to someone else to continually help them grow whatever that business is that you show up to every day. So, again, you have to have patience. And I just want to let you know that I definitely admire your business sense. I mean, definitely you've done your homework. I mean, you've taught me some things actually here on the show today that I wasn't aware of. And I'm not in the fashion business, but it's a lot of sometimes when people talk, you always grab something from it. So I actually gravitated to a few things that you discussed on the show. And more importantly, you are very well educated in what your business is. And it's so many people, Leslie, out here, because social media at this point has just made everybody successful. Social media has made everybody have you know, nobody has business failure, nobody's light bill is due, nobody has no car payment is behind. Social media social media has just made everybody's life look a certain way. And guys, you gotta be careful what you are seeing displaying on social media, because if you go and research and do the homework on folks, you will be amazed at what you would learn about the individual. Because I have seen folks who tell me they've been in business for 10 years, and I go Google and can't find them.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere, if you are a business owner outside of your social media sites popping up, I should be able to find you out there somewhere on Google. You know, just, I mean, if you own a business. I mean, or folks that own a business, they don't have a website, Leslie. You know, I run into a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need a website. Now, the world, the day and time that we live in, people won't even take you seriously now without a website. So
exactly.
You know, you got to pull some content together, you know, Leslie, so people can have, because you know how we are, we're visuals. We want to go and look. And
right.
You can talk and sell us your business all day, but we want to get out there and look online and see what you have. And that's just, I mean, that's the world we live in. So, guys, you got to have a website. I mean, I think that's really important. And start with, and Leslie, I think you mentioned you designed your own website. Is that correct?
Yeah. So many years ago, like I said before, they had these platforms that would essentially do it for you. Right now, I used to design them. But now, if you need an e-commerce site or whatever, there are a number of different businesses out there that have this all-in-one package, which I think is great. You know, all you have to do is just kind of click and drag and move things where you want it to move and pay your monthly subscription price. And it takes care of your security, especially if it's an e-commerce platform. That is important. You want someone else to be responsible for authenticating and securing credit card information and stuff like that. Because if you think that you're going to secure all of that and your website gets hacked or whatever, then you will be held liable, and that's a headache you don't want. So, you know, if it's an e-commerce site, I, you know, 100% recommend that you find a reputable company out there that specializes in, you know, processing digital payments and things of that sort. And then if you can find an all-in-one that can help you build a website and connect your e-commerce platform, that would be great as well. And I use that, so I've rid myself of that headache. I have a lot of other things to concentrate on, and worrying about the security of credit card information is not something I want to wrap my brains around. So I leave that to
the hackers are out there
to handle. Yeah, yeah.
They are out there. Yeah, they are, Leslie. And if it's not your – and, guys, you know, Leslie definitely touched on some great points. If that's not your level of expertise, don't walk into it. I mean, because when you're dealing with security, we already have a lot of folks that get up in the morning, that's their job, basically, to go and hack into different accounts. I mean, you see it every day on the news. So just don't put yourself, you know, in that position to be held liable for that type of attack, for having someone using your site to purchase your products or services. And I wanted to touch on one other thing, Leslie, before we wrap up. I wanted to touch on the trademark. Sorry about the Gemini TM, and let me make sure I say that, because guys, Leslie and I are so funny. Leslie and my graphic team and I, we were going back and forth revising the promotional flyer that we put out on Blog Talk Radio, and with the TM, and it was so funny because I said, I love, you know, that Leslie's like, no, you got to add the TM. So, guys, we're going to talk a few minutes before we wrap up with Leslie about trademarking and why it's so important. And basically, Leslie, if you could just tell listeners too, why did you trademark?
Oh, okay. So, whatever you do, if you get into any type of transactional business, you should find a way to try to protect whatever it is that you're offering. And like I said, I can't really protect designs because you can't really patent and copyright fashion, something like that, unless it's like a wearable thing, like for healthcare or something like that. But outside of that, you can't really do too much about it. But what you can do is protect the image or your logo of your company and what it is that it does.
to prevent other companies from popping up and appearing to do the same thing that you do under the guise of your logo and things of that sort. So it's very important within the walls of the United States that while you're filing your paperwork to register your logo or your brand presence, is to assign a trademark. And that's as easy as putting TM after the name of your company or what have you. And the United States government recognizes that when you put TM out there. So there's a competitor that comes up and decides to steal your logo, or in my case, someone has made a logo that's fairly similar to mine.
Wow.
They're in the business, they're in the same business that I'm in, but they're passing themselves off as me. The United States government, they will come back to me and say, produce the first time that you use that trademark, and they need to see it in print, because that will establish brand equity and ownership. So once you do that, then they will rule out the other, quote unquote, fictitious business that's trying to operate as you, and also assign fines towards that company. So it's very important day one when you wake up and decide for the woman who wants to design shoes, you know, when she decides that I'm going to design shoes and I'm going to call it this company, after she writes, types in the name of that company, smack trademark behind it, then download the paperwork to register the business. It takes a long time to register a business. Sometimes it can go fairly. Yeah, sometimes it can happen within, let's say, 6 months. And then sometimes it can take anywhere from 12 to 18 months, depending upon how deep of research they have to perform and how many other competing businesses there are out there in the universe. Because let's say that you're very legitimate, and let's say in my case, I'm very legitimate, and I come up with Gemini with the trademark and the butterfly that actually looks like two people, and I had no clue that there was another company out there with similar markings and stuff like that. Yeah. Well, then the government has to go back and forth between my company and the other said company to establish brand ownership and then communicate with me. And as you know, the United States government is a little slow to kind of do things.
So
it takes a while. So it can go, like I said, it can go very quickly within 6 months, or it can go as long as 18 months. And I've even heard in some instances, depending upon how layered things are, it taking years. But as long as you're in the universe with the TM, the trademark behind your name and or logo, if someone comes behind you, then you can establish proof of quote-unquote equity within that logo, and the government will honor it.
I want to ask you something really quickly for me. Is there a way, when you go in trademark, is there a way you can put in a name and see if that name is already being trademarked, or you really have to go through the entire process before you can find out if someone's already trademarked that name?
Yeah, so you can go through the trademark office. You can visit their URL, and unfortunately, I don't have that handy right now. But you can do a search through the trademark and patent office to see what trademarks are in motion and what registrations are in motion. They'll tell you what stages things are in as well. So if you know that something looks like it's getting ready to get approved, you know, to stay away from it and things of that sort. So you can definitely do that. Or you can just actually just put the name you're entertaining into a Google search. You can put quotes around it. So that will help isolate everything that has that name in it for you to see it.
Okay, great. Wow. Well, Leslie, you have really given us some great information. And I know the listeners, And I apologize, we have like 40-something more emails, but of course we don't have time to get to them today. But what I definitely would like to do is have you come back on the show at some point within the next several weeks, and of course we will reach out to you and check your availability so we can get some of the questions answered, because a lot of the questions that are getting asked around business. So and getting started with businesses, you know, it's 2017, Leslie, a lot of folks out there that want to
start their business and, you know, get into entrepreneurship. And, you know, they have, like, this one question. I'll go ahead and ask this question. And